Pilates, dare I say, it is a kick butt workout. It can be as hard as the client wants it to be or as easy and as simple as it needs to be. I always say to the gentlemen that work with me, they usually come in and they're all like, I can do 10,000 push-ups and look at me. And I was like, let's wait a moment. I don't need to make it hard, but I need to make it so that it's beneficial, that you are aligned, and that it really produces the results that Joseph Pilates had promised us. Making it hard is easy, but it's about doing it right.
Welcome to the Happiest Ever After podcast. That's right, happy-ish. Because instead of fairy tales of perfection, we celebrate real lives and real stories. I'm Tatiana, your host, and I'm here to guide you on your journey to better health and self-acceptance. Join me every week as we delve into science-backed truths about health, from understanding our bodies to caring for our emotional well-being. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, I'm speaking with Heike Yates, a fitness, nutrition, and midlife mindset expert. She's been transforming women's lives for over 35 years, and she is the innovative mind behind the groundbreaking Pilates with the Resistiball exercise program. And she also has a teacher training course. She has come today to talk all things Pilates, what it is, how it fits into our modern lifestyle, and contributes to a healthy and whole you. Welcome, Heike. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today.
Thank you, Tatiana, for having me on the show. Of course, Pilates is something I love talking about.
Oh my gosh. I discovered it late in life, and I wish it was actually more accessible. But before we dive into like me starting to talk about how much I love Pilates, maybe you can introduce a little bit about yourself and your background with Pilates.
So as you said, my name is Heike Yates, and I'm originally from Germany, and the inventor of Pilates is also from Germany, which is not a coincidence, I would think, because I love Pilates and I've been teaching Pilates now for over 20 years. And I started actually in the fitness industry, teaching aerobics classes and fitness classes, and fell in love with what it does for the body and how I can help other people, men, women, and back then also children, to be healthier, stronger, move better, be better at sports, be just doing the things they want to do, stronger overall. And then over the years, I also started teaching yoga, but yoga never sat really well with me. And then I came across Pilates. And true story, the first Pilates class that I ever took, I fell asleep. I thought it was the most boring thing that I've ever taken in my entire career. They were rolling around on the floor, and there were all these wearing these tight outfits. I mean, I'm a fitness coach, so I wear athletic wear, but they were all wearing these unitards, which were very popular back then. And there was like about breathing, and there were about lengthening, and there were all these things. And I was like, I totally fell asleep. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's for me. Fast forward a few years later, I started getting more demands from the people in the health club I was working at that the time. And I said, okay, I got to bite the bullet and figure out Pilates. Mm-hmm. And just loved it. Started, you know, training Pilates and saw the benefits of Pilates on my body and how easy it is, contrary to what you said, to incorporate it into your life and into your day. And, you know, along the way, I just got so excited about it that I had developed Pilates on what's back then was the company Resistiball, because somebody else has a Pilates on the ball program, but that's a different program. But I have to say I was the first one ever on the fitness industry that invented Pilates on the ball with a big ball, with those big stability balls. And it was just so much fun, and created the program and worked with a company that embraced that mind body that I now embraced as well. And here we are still teaching Pilates, and everybody that I come in contact with will get Pilates in one form or another.
I love that story. And you know, something that I really take away from that too, not just your passion that I can see so much, but how often do we go to one class or we try something one time and we're like, it's not for me, and we write it off?
Absolutely.
I love that the universe kept poking you, or whatever it was that was poking you, that said, no, you've got to try this, and that you went in. And there's so many different approaches to Pilates. whether it's if you're doing like springboard. I love it on the floor, just the plain mat Pilates. I find the body weight, the resistance. I had never been so fit as when I did Pilates. I had never felt so strong as when I started doing Pilates, as well as, of course, there's the reformer. And I haven't tried the ball, but that's what your expertise is in. And it sounds like it would be a lot of fun. But maybe you can tell us now a little bit about how Pilates is different from other forms of exercise. And I use the term exercise because that's the term that we use for any intentional workout. And it's so hard because so many people have a really negative connotation. They think of their grade 5 gym class or something when they think of exercise. But really, we're using this term as an intentional movement practice because that's what it is in my mind.
Well, Pilates is a method, and it was initially called Contrology. So Joseph Pilates named the Pilates method Contrology, total control of body and mind. And it's funny that we're having this interview today, and here's why. One of my longtime clients came in today for her workout, and we used the reformer. I'll talk a little bit about what that all is and what that all means. And I just recently wrote an article for our neighborhood monthly newsletter and talked about Pilates and walking. And I told her about this, and then she said, well, what about Pilates? I said, well, he was born in 1883, died in 1967, and he was a very innovative man. So he incorporated, and it's important to know that it's not just somebody dreamed this up and said, wow, now we're going to lengthen, we're going to strengthen. Joseph Pilates was an engineer, so he built all the pieces of equipment that you see oftentimes in a Pilates studio, like the reformer, the Cadillac, a spine corrector, a barrel, a high barrel, the chair, the Wunder chair, things like that. He invented those pieces of equipment and built them back in the days. Mm-hmm. And so around the pieces of equipment, he was a man of really a big vision of keeping people healthy, strong, and upright, tall, and able to do everyday activities. And when you think about, and that was part of the story I was telling today, is Joseph Pilates invented what's called the Wunder chair. And the Wunder chair is a square box that has springs and a pedal attached, and you can push that pedal with the arms and with the legs. But he built it originally, you flipped it over and put one side down, and it actually became a chair. And you could sit in it. And I sat in one of those chairs back in the days when I was training. I was very fortunate to have a mentor and coach and a person that certified me on all pieces of equipment. And he has that chair, and you sit in it. It was like a miracle. It was so good for your posture. It was so comfortable. It didn't look comfortable at all. But once you were sitting, you're like, wow, my back is really straight. My lumbar is supported. My feet touch the ground. It was just fantastic. So when you think about Pilates, it can be done on pieces of equipment or, like you said, on the mat work. The idea behind Pilates is really breathing, elongation of the muscle, strength building. And primarily we now see people coming in for core strength, back pain, misalignment, scoliosis. So we have a lot of orthopedic needs in my practice that people come in and they're all my age. I'm 62 and or older. My oldest client right now is 98. And they're all looking for that same, a better posture, a universal alignment of the body, core strength, and being able to do the things that they want to do as we're getting older. And when we're thinking of things like osteoporosis, for instance, everybody has osteoporosis at this age. Your bones get frail. You want to feel strong, and you need to support your spine in particular to do the gardening you love to do or the biking you love to do or run around with the grandkids. And so the Pilates method is about developing breath, elongating the spine, better posture, better balanced use of the entire body. And it's very, in my point of view, very therapeutic as it is low impact in nature. And it can be very gentle on the joints as well. And I also work with breast cancer recoveries in my studio. So I have a variety of issues that I deal with, and Pilates can accommodate all of them.
It sounds like Pilates can really travel with you as you age.
Absolutely.
But I think it would benefit younger people as well. There's not really any age that is precluded from doing Pilates, is there?
Nope. And we're talking now a little bit more, given the age group and midlife, more about the aging population. But, you know, I worked with clients as young as 8 years old in Pilates. Mm. It's what you want from the work. And initially, Pilates was really, air quotes, sold to the elite, people that had money. And people would go to the studios and they were all fancy pants and they're doing all the little outfits and whatnot. And a lot of people felt excluded. And so we started to do Pilates in schools. The Pilates Method Alliance, what I'm certified with, they did more outreaches to make it more accessible to everybody, even with a small budget, like a student, to be able to take Pilates. And dare I say, it is a kick butt workout. It can be as hard as the client wants it to be, or as easy and as simple as it needs to be, depending on the age group. And I always say to the gentlemen that work with me, they usually come in and they're all like, oh, here I come and I can do 10,000 push-ups and look at me. And I was like, let's wait a moment. Let's do a little bit of this and a little bit of roll up and rollovers. And I said, you know what? I don't need to make it hard, but I need to make it so that it's beneficial, that you are aligned, and that it really produces the results that Joseph Pilates had promised us through his method. And making it hard is easy, but it's about doing it right.
Yeah, I think for me, what I've found with Pilates is that as you're working out, it's working muscles that I don't necessarily work all the time. And how does that add to stability and strengthening and lengthening? So often when people think, oh, I need to work on my core, what they're thinking of is the abs or the six pack and not the transverse abdominis and strengthening. All like the core includes everything all around to the back. And so you're thinking, oh, I want to work my core. You end up doing a bunch of ab work on a machine. Then I went to Pilates and there were all these muscles that were like below them and that wrapped all the way, that stabilized all of my lower back. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I had muscles there. And when I had started Pilates, I was very, very fit. It was pre-pandemic and just the way that my life was at the time. I had more opportunities and we had more classes. There were things that were still open that have now closed that aren't open again. And I haven't found another place where I can do Pilates in a class situation. But you're absolutely right. If you wanted to ease off a little bit, you could. And if you wanted to challenge yourself, you know, like when you're on the mat, it seems like, you know, if you just lower your legs that little bit more, then the movement of all of the muscles are just so entirely different.
Let's now, tie in there a little bit with that. People that are listening may not know what the heck we're actually talking about. What is the mat work? So when you think about the Pilates method, you have over 500 exercises and all the pieces of equipment in a Pilates studio. And most people refer to them as torture machines because they have springs and they have leather straps and they are square and they move and they do all these things. In most Pilates studios, you will find a reformer, which most people have seen on QVC or any other network, or let the $400 cheapy ones that you can buy for at home. You have the Cadillac, which was back in the days, Joseph Pilates' most prized possession was the Cadillac. So the car that was the most expensive back then, that's why he named the Cadillac, because it was the most expensive car at that time. Then you have the Wonder Chair, which I already mentioned. It's a chair. You have rounded hump-like things that are the spine corrector and a bigger hump-like thing that's the high barrel or the ladder barrel. And most studios have these things, but Joseph Pilates invented 13 pieces of equipment that range from head corrector, foot corrector, spine corrector, T-press bar, breathalyzer, all these things that a lot of studios don't have because it does include buying extra equipment and you don't do quite as much with a little smaller equipment. But he developed the Pilates mat work during World War I as he was incarcerated in England as a prisoner. He came up with the movements and taught them to what the, that's what the story goes, to other people that were with him imprisoned. And that's how the mat work goes. So you take a yoga mat, and in essence, you roll up, you stretch up, you're like a ball, you climb a tree by holding onto a leg, you do side bends with legs up in the air. So it's almost a little bit like yoga. When people come, they say, oh, Pilates is like yoga. No, it's not. It's its own form of exercise. And the mat work has 34 traditional exercises you go through in sequence. And you basically roll around the mat. And that's a heck of a lot of fun. And as you said, Tatiana, it is harder in the mat work because you don't have any help from the equipment. The equipment has the straps that are supportive of the movement. So if your legs are up and you go, oh my God, I do those leg up and downs for my specifically core section in Pilates, you're like, oh, my legs fall off. If you're assisted by the equipment, it becomes a little easier, a little more doable, and to build up your strength from wherever you are in life.
I do want to ask you about the Cadillac, because I think people through social media have seen different pieces of Pilates equipment, and they'll hear, you know, Kate Hudson and her Pilates practice or something. Is the Cadillac the one that looks kind of like a four-poster bed? Is that the one? Okay. And it has, it's got the mat that's raised that has all of the pieces, but then it's also got, like, with a four-poster bed, the pieces that go up in the air. So it's like a, it's
like a canopy bed without a canopy.
Yeah.
And the platform is like a massage table.
Yes, that's how I'd describe it too. Yeah, yep. But there's not any massaging that happens. It's there just for work.
They're massaging the spine when they're rolling.
Oh, that's good perspective.
Because when you hold onto the bar and you roll down and you roll back up, you're massaging your spine and articulating your spine. So,
oh, wow. I hadn't thought of it that way. So getting back to the differences between Pilates and yoga, I wanted to understand, are there some core principles or foundational principles around Pilates? Because like I said, they have a different energy about them, but I'm trying to capture, like, what is that? Are there these core principles that ground Pilates?
There's three things that the three C's, as we call them in Pilates. Centering, circulation, and the third one escapes me now, but it will come to me. So centering is about the body and the mind being centered. Also, we're you know, thinking about everything works in unison, everything works together. Then we have circulation, which is the breath. Then we have concentration. That means that we're actually paying a mindful awareness to the movement. And so you have the centering of the body and the mind, but also a little bit further out, you talk about the center line in Pilates, where everything, like your spine, everything evolves around your center line. You bring your legs together, you align your spine, your arms are aligning around that. That's also part of centering. And then, like I said, circulation is the breath work that comes with Pilates. And the way I think about Pilates being a little bit like yoga, because every movement has a breath for me in Pilates. Mm-hmm. You breathe in one way, you breathe out the other way. And oftentimes when I teach an exercise, I would say, inhale, prepare, exhale, and move. And then the person starts, depending on where we start in the movement. And my husband always says, you say, inhale, prepare. What does that actually mean? And I say, well, I want them to take a deep breath in, to be ready to do its thing. And then we go into the exhalation, depending on which part of the exercise is. So these are the three C's of Pilates. But there's so much more. There's a flow. There's a universal alignment of the body. We're trying to get the body to function the same, to overcome things like scoliosis or deal with situations like that. There's so much more in Pilates. But I think the essence is really the three C's to me.
So I'm also hearing a lot about how it's like strength and lengthening when it comes to the muscles. And then you're talking about like rolling on the back. What does it do for helping with like joint health? Does it impact joint health?
When you think of strength and length, when we think about strength training, let's go with strength training first. The traditional way to strength train is with sets and reps. You do three sets of bicep curls, 8, 10, 12, and each repetition. That kind of approach builds muscle mass or size on the muscle. When we think of Pilates, when we're doing this, and I get to the lengthening part, we're not doing sets and reps. You do 3 to 8 repetitions of whatever the movement is, and then you're done. Your coach may say, okay, after 3, you're done. Maybe do a couple more, depending on who you have in front of you. And so it is still muscle building. It is not that we're suddenly changing how we grow the muscle. We're still getting stronger, but we're not building as much size because of the way the principle is. Now, a muscle that we strengthen, the opposite of the muscle, also lengthens. So it doesn't mean that when I do a bicep curl, my bicep is now lengthening, but my tricep is lengthening. And we're extending.
Oh, okay.
Let's use the arm as an example. And I'm just sitting here and I'm showing all this. So I'm bicep curling, which we do in Pilates. We do bicep curls with a bar or with weights even. And so we're shortening a muscle, which then strengthens, but then the other one is lengthening as an opposing muscle. And then as we're extending the arm, now we're lengthening the muscle across the joints. Speaking of joint health. So Pilates is particularly good for that. It is gentle on the body because we're not using super heavy loads. We are also focusing on the alignment of the muscle. Will we get longer, leaner muscle? No, the muscle belly is only as long as it is. It doesn't get any longer. Just as we talk about, oh, you get taller from Pilates. No, you're just taking out compression and you actually get better posture. That's how you get taller. But just a lot of the imagery of, as I'm extending my arm now out of the contraction into the extension of the muscle, now my bottom, my tricep is the one that's the muscle that's working actually to support my arm. If I use my arm, and here comes that length idea behind it. So it's not bulk building, but let's use the term lengthening. And a lot of fitness coaches out there are debating around what we Pilates people do. And if this is really true, what are we telling everybody? And they're like, you're still building muscle, but in a different way.
So much good stuff there. So as you were extending your arm out and in, something that really struck me was that when you had talked about the 3 C's, I've always wondered how come a Pilates ball, that 1 pound Pilates ball, when I'm doing Pilates exercises, weighs like 100 pounds at the end. And I realized as I was watching you, and now here I am, you know, flexing and extending my arm, that when I'm extending and holding a Pilates ball, there is an intense amount of concentration. And for a long time, people were like, it was about the weight that mattered. But concentration is such an integral part of fitness and body development, because we know lots of scientific studies have been done that have demonstrated that your muscles get a better workout when you're actually thinking about the muscles that you're working as you're working them, because you're engaging them. So you're engaging them more fully. And that just all of a sudden became very clear to me as I was watching you extend and contract. And because I have been there with that 1 pound Pilates ball, cursing it, thinking, how did this thing turn into 100 pounds?
It does. It's amazing, isn't it? And you're thinking, oh God, no, I can't do this.
But you talk about doing exercises like 3 to 8 times. But then we have what's a very famous and quite popular move. I think it's a popular move is hundreds, you know, where you do the breath out for 10 and then in for 10. So I think a lot of people who are already practicing may be familiar with that. How does, when you're talking about the 3 to 8 movements, is that when your whole body is moving then? What's the difference between those?
Think about like arm circles. There's a whole bunch of arm circles in Pilates. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't circle your arms 3 sets of 8, 10, 12. You do 1 set of 8 arm circles and then you reverse and do the arm circles. The 100 is an exception because the 100 is intended to be a warm-up exercise. And so you have that, you lie on the floor, basically do a crunch with the legs up in the air, hands are about 1 inch off the floor, and you flutter the arms above the mat to create a small vibration to help you start breathing and help you start warming up the body. And the lower the legs go, the harder you have to work. And I don't know many people who really like the 100.
My cat does. This is the funniest thing. My cat, when I do hundreds in the living room, she comes under my hand because then it's like tapping on her.
Yep.
It's her favorite exercise. If she sees, she's like there right away for her 100 pets.
That's funny.
But you feel so accomplished when you're done.
Yep.
I feel like that's one that really does get the flow going through the whole body. So for anybody who's listening and isn't familiar, it's like you described, you're lying on your back, but then you're raising up. So really it's just your bottom that is, you're basically balancing on your glutes and you can have your legs up or down and you're, you know, pumping your arms in time. And that's the only way I can keep track of my breath is actually because it's happening all at the same time. And then as you're, you know, fluttering your feet, it's very engaging. And I don't know if the relief at the end is because you've made it to 100, because it's always that last, like from 70 on or 80 on, that feels like today's the day I'm going to die. And then you're done and you're like, I did it.
Very true.
And it really gets the circulating, like you really get this rush through. That's my experience has been that I get this rush. Do you get that same feeling from it?
I don't know. I just love it so much. I don't, you know, I love everything. I love the lengthening part. I love the rolling part. I love the sideline sidekick series. And I love to be on the chair. And, you know, I don't know. It just, to me, it's after such a long time to me. It's just, I choose what I want to do that day. Nobody tells me what workout I should do. And I choose what my body needs that day, whether it needs more strength. Whether I do want to do the 100. No, maybe not today. Today, I don't feel like it. I'd rather do like the scissors or something like that because I need a little bit more of a stretch. And that's the beauty of being your own boss, that you can choose what works for you, as when you hopefully have a coach that does the same for you and chooses what's best for you at that time. And when you're in a class, I think that happens less because we building a group and moving the group in a group class forward. But I feel I work very intuitively with my clients. I don't know what they're going to get that day. I look at their bodies. I hear what they have to tell me, how their week was. And then I get started. And one person came in years ago and she said, huh, hands on hips. What are we going to do today? I said, I have no idea. And she was like, oh, sort of thinking, oh, you don't know what you're doing? And I was like, well, how do you feel? Oh, you were in a car accident. Oh, okay. So we're doing something completely different than what you thought we're going to do today. And so to me, it's about where's the mind when they come in? Are they ready to work hard? Are they angry when they come in? Are they happy? Did something happen in their life? And that to me determines the workout. Because there's over 500 exercises, not including modifications. There is plenty of exercises for everybody to either kick their butt-ski or just get them, you know, get out of the stress, let go of those tight muscles and feel better, which to me feels that's what I can do for Pilates, or what Pilates does for my body. And I hope it does it for my client as I design their programs as well.
That's the sign of a master. When you don't have to have a plan in advance, you know your Pilates so deeply, so well, that instead you can actually be intuitive with your client's space and what they need on that day and adjust appropriately. That's the sign of a master. And that is a great gift. I know it's not everybody that can afford to have those one-on-ones. And there are some real benefits. Like I don't think we're saying don't go to class either, because there's something about the energy of being in a class that when you're having a funky day, that's not a good funky, just being in that energy with other people can help draw you out. I've never done a private lesson. It wasn't in my budget. Single mom. I got kids that do a lot of stuff. And
true.
You know, you make your balance. And so I went to group classes and I really, really loved them. Really loved them. It was an amazing local group that unfortunately they didn't survive the pandemic. Yeah. They opened about 6 months before, and Stretch Collective is what they were called. And I didn't mind driving across town to go to them because they had the best instruction there. It was a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. Anybody who would want to start out Pilates and is very new to Pilates and doesn't really know what to expect and what it could be like, I would say do it about 3 private sessions. So you're getting the gist of what is actually going on. So you understand how that applies to your body. And then, you know, if it's a budget question, then go to a class with a qualified instructor. Go check out a class, you know, find an age group that's right for you. You don't want to be with the little old ladies when you're 30 years old and vice versa. And find a group that gels with you and jives with you and have that experience like you had the camaraderie. And it's so much fun. And back in the days when I used to teach groups as teachers, we sometimes would work out together. Like, okay, one of us leads the workout and we're all doing the workout together. And in Washington, D.C., our studio was on a busy street. And so people, there were sidewalking. People would actually stop on the sidewalk and watch us. We were just a hoot. We were in there doing our teasers and the boxes. And then somebody who was teaching taught a little bit more ballet-like Pilates. So we did leg extensions and sort of pirouettes. And it was just anything goes. So a group class can be a lot of fun and a good camaraderie as well. And good for, the same goes for a math class. If you go to a math class, this is the lowest on the totem pole that you can afford. Same idea. You learn as you go. You see what's right for you and you find the class that works for your dynamic. Yeah, and have just fun with Pilates. It's just great.
It is. And another thing is that if you decide to go to a group, you can have a friend that goes with you if you're feeling unsure. I remember in one of mine, we had a young woman. So there were midlife women, there were women with young children, there was a 19-year-old, and there was an older man who attended as well. And it was a real mixed bag, but everybody actually was brought together because they all loved Pilates. Yep. And they all had a lot of fun. So it's fun to just be with a different group and don't be fearful if you feel like the odd person out the first time. It's a natural feeling, or bring a friend.
Look at me. I fell asleep at the first Pilates class. Come on now, peeps. You can do this.
And here you are all these years later, a master. I'm trying to think of what kind of class you were at that you had the opportunity to fall asleep.
It was a teacher coaching class. It was when Pilates first became more mainstream and all the people in the room were teachers. It was fitness teachers, some Pilates teachers, but they wanted to bring in Pilates more into the mainstream so more people would be exposed to what Pilates is and how that actually would work. And at this point, in my life, what was I doing? I was a bodybuilder. So I was a full-on bodybuilder. So that was the furthest from my mind to develop lean muscles.
Wow. So you moved from bodybuilding to Pilates. They are very different types of exercises. When you started doing Pilates regularly, how long was it before you started actually feeling or seeing a difference in your body?
I think if you're more intuitive, and many people are not, you feel it right away. There's a sequence that I tend to do with newbies so they get a little bit of the feeling of what it could be like. And then I have them get up and stand up and see how they feel. And without fail, after that hour of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of strength and a little bit of that, everybody gets up and says, I feel different. I feel taller. I feel lighter. I feel leaner. I just feel better. So it can be almost instant, but you have to really take a step back and say, okay, wait a minute. And it can happen with any class. Take a moment and don't hustle or bustle around your life right away, but take a moment and just see, how did that feel? And you've been to Pilates classes. We always talk about how does it feel? How is this feeling over here? Does it hurt?
Yeah.
What do you feel in your joint? And I know my clients always say, you ask so many questions. I'm like, yeah, but the more you tell me how that feels to you, the more I can customize it. And the more you will paying attention, like the Pilates and walking. You know, when you think about the image of I'm outside doing my daily walk, and instead of hunching up my shoulders, keeping a rounded back and huffing and puffing along, how nice would it be if I drop my shoulder, I wear what I like to call a crown, and I have a swan neck. That's one of the Pilates things. I have a swan neck, a really long neck that reaches up towards the sky. It is freeing. You can breathe. Your shoulders are relaxed. There's no tension in it. And you have good posture, or much better posture, when you think of those things. And It can be instant if you just wait a minute and step back a little bit in our hustle bustle in our lives where we just run from one thing to the next. Take a step back and say, okay, let's see how I feel.
I think it's actually a major issue in our current society. We're hustle, 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 rush, rush, rush. And I think what has happened is that we have a disconnect between our brains and our bodies, and whole health has to reconnect there.
Yeah.
And I had not thought of it before, but I think that might have been one of the things that drew me to Pilates, that questioning reinforces again, you have to make the connection with your mind to what is happening in your body. And how often do we do that? Your body feels pain all day. Sitting is the new smoking. That's what they keep saying. And we are having pain when we're spending all day on our chair, but we've just been like, I can't hear that. I can't feel that. We've disconnected and disassociated from everything that our body is telling us. And Pilates invites us back in to have a conversation with our body and to reconnect. Yeah. And I love that you just ask your clients, what do you feel? How does this feel? Because I think that's a really important part of anything that you do. But when we're in some of the other classes, people don't say, how do you feel? They say, push harder, just one more, you can do it.
Yeah, good point.
Which perpetuates that hustle, 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 and also perpetuates the disconnect between our body and our mind.
Yep. The more is not the better.
Mm-mm. No. Sometimes and sometimes not.
Yep.
It's about being able to make that judgment. How often, when you have somebody joining you to do Pilates, how often do you usually recommend that they participate in Pilates in order to have the benefit, to really have a benefit to their lives or a noticeable benefit? How often would you say would be a good practice?
Well, I have to break it down in two bits, because I would say whatever you can afford. I do not want to see you every day. No, I want you to cross train. But if you can come once a week financially, that's great. If you can come twice a week, that's even better. That's my thing. If I think about 7 days a week, I want people to do something else besides Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
2 days a week, to me, it's great. You do maybe one machine class or a private and a math class to balance out your budget. Noticeable difference, that's a different story. If you want to have a noticeable difference 3 times a week on the equipment, not just the mat, is to me where you can actually, within, I would say in a month, you can definitely tell the difference, how fit somebody gets 3 times a week. And it may only last for a month, but it's the resistance that we experience in the equipment, which makes it so neat other than body weight, to progress the clients also faster, because they have to learn the exercises. They have to learn what they're supposed to be doing and do it, at least in my books, correctly. If you don't do it correctly, it's no good. We're not gonna be sloppy. And if it's sloppy, then we're just not gonna do the exercise. Or at times I have to slow down clients because they think that Pilates is what I call turbo Pilates, like fast, in, up, down, teaser, da-da-da. And I was like, it's not. It is mindful movement. Pay attention. Are you rolling? Are you doing this? But the answer really is, I would say, if somebody wants quick results, it's 3 times a week for a month. You will see the difference, not just feel it.
That's great. It's nice to have sort of concrete numbers, because sometimes people are like, but how long is this reasonable to expect? Am I asking too much of myself? Like if somebody had been going once a week for 2 months and they said, but I'm not seeing a difference. Well, we know why, because it probably takes, you're saying, 3 times a week. But still, even at once a week, I think you would feel it if you're doing other things because of that lengthening and strengthening. I know also a friend of mine did say, she's like, I can't believe, she's like, I actually gained 0.5 inch. And it was really from that expansion and releasing the compression that happens in our backs over time. It's like, you know, we talk about shrinkage as people age, but actually you can mitigate that through the proper movements.
think about Pilates in the sense it's ideal for people with osteoporosis or that have been diagnosed with a weak spine. Pilates does not help strengthening the hips because it's not an impact exercise, but research has shown that doing Pilates 2 to 3 times a week improves bone density in the spine. Now, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Now, I don't want to get too technical, but if you imagine a skeleton, and a skeleton has all these little vertebrae on there, they're interspersed with what I like to call marshmallows, the soft pieces. Mm-hmm. And so there's your spine. And your spine, each vertebra has a little muscle that goes from muscle to muscle up and connects the bones. And then you have muscles, because we're working Pilates from the inside out, which you touched on earlier. We're not looking for the big biceps, the big glutes, or the chest workout, but we're looking for those little muscles. And when we're looking at the spine, we're then looking at the multifidi that are going up and down alongside the spine, which is what we're targeting in Pilates when it comes to posture. So the more we can strengthen those multifidi and the back extensors that are over it, the more we are supporting the structure of the spine, the less we shrink, less we hunch, and the more we can fight gravity with the strength that we're developing from the inside out. And it's a really cool way to look at the spine. When you think of the spine, you have your little muscles that are connecting to the vertebra, and then you have their multifidus go up and down, and then you have the back extensors, which are right over it, next to it. And then you have, from right and left, you have the lats come in, and the trapezius from the neck down as well in the similar area, and then the rhomboid in for what I call the posture muscles in the back. And so you have that whole posterior chain that is helping staying upright, but is supported by the anterior chain of your other core muscles, your pecs, your obliques, the internal, external, transverse abdominals, your rectus. So it's a really fantastic structure that anybody who designed us came up with to actually be able to do these things that we can do in Pilates, that it's possible.
I wish everybody could see, because even as you were moving your hands, I was like, I can visualize the spine and the connection and how we actually, in our modern life, let those muscles atrophy to a certain extent because they aren't being consciously engaged. And that's where that connection with the mind and the body and being able to strengthen there is so critical, because while we might not be able to stop aging or stop natural deterioration, we can slow it and we can support our body. And to what purpose? What is our purpose in doing this? To be able to maintain our ability to be independent, to be able to take care of ourselves as we age. I had shoulder surgery in the spring, and I couldn't brush my own hair for about 6 weeks. I was completely dependent. For the first month, one of my daughters would wash my hair and then braid it for me so that we could leave it for a few days, because I wasn't able to brush it at all. And that lack of independence to be able to just do basic self-care for myself was really challenging. I don't feel comfortable asking my daughter to wash my hair and braid my hair. And she willingly and lovingly did it and was just fantastic. But I don't want to be somebody who can't function in their life and do the things that I need to do for my own self-care so that I can live independently. So having something like Pilates in that tool belt, it's a wonderful thing. So somebody's listened to this and they think, oh, you know, I don't know where to try Pilates. I want to just try something. Do you have any resources for somebody to just try Pilates at home? Anything that you would recommend for somebody who listens to this who maybe hasn't tried Pilates or did a long time ago, but maybe now they don't know where to go?
You know, I would say ideally you go to a class where somebody teaches you what to do. I have exercise videos where I break down different Pilates exercises in my membership. I think an in-person, go somewhere, have somebody actually poke you, because a lot of Pilates teachers touch you and arrange you, and so you can feel where you're supposed to be. That would be ideal. I would say there's a ton on YouTube out there. You can Google beginner Pilates and get started with this. Of course, I would say go take my little course or my little membership where you can just choose from all the videos that I have. But may as it be, you may also look into the Pilates Method Alliance. The Pilates Method Alliance is the umbrella that has all the certified Pilates teachers in their roster. Go look in your community and see who is there. See if there's a Pilates teacher and then talk to them and get started with at least a couple of, this is what you can do. Here's three exercises you can do at home.
Is the Pilates Method Alliance around the world? Do they have locations around the world or are they just in the US? Because I know you're in the US and I'm in Canada.
Yep. No, Pilates Method, they are just the umbrella. They used to certify all Pilates teachers through them, and they have now a different certification body that does it for them. But it's international, anywhere in the world. If you Google Pilates teacher in Germany, if they're certified with them, you will find them there.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I think it can be frustrating to start it by yourself because you really don't know what it means. And you follow the things and you're like, okay, my neck hurts when I do the 100, which is a common complaint. Oh, I can't roll. Another common complaint. Oh, I'm really stiff. I can't do that leg circle. Another common complaint. And so then I find that people feel frustrated that they can't do what this person on the video does. And then they give up. So I would say, find somebody, take a class. You know, or maybe they have videos wherever you live in the world and follow some of that stuff so you understand what Pilates is. Because when people start out new, they say, whoa, this is so overwhelming. You tell me about, you know, you got to keep your apples in and you got to do this and you got to breathe. You breathe into your rib cage and you got to have the spine long and you do stabilize the shoulders and you do all this. And they're like, I can never remember this in a million years. And that makes people frustrated. And that's not the way it should be and could be because there's a better way. I mean, I don't stop anybody who says, oh, I'm just going to take a class and see what happens. More power to you. Maybe that's your personal choice, the way to go.
I personally love working out at home, but I think that you have raised a really valid point. And that is, you mentioned earlier there's like 500 different moves, and that's not including the modifications. And the reality is that, are you going to get the modifications from a YouTube video? So if people really want to try it at home, you're saying there's lots of resources on YouTube. But if you're finding, oh, I'm having some pain in my neck, or I'm not able to do this role, then that's your cue to go and find somebody in your community that can help you understand what the modification looks like and how you're going to move. I remember when I started with yoga, I could not for the life of me bring my foot from the back into between my arms. And my yoga teacher looked at me and she goes, it's because of your proportions, because my legs are very long. So there actually wasn't enough space for me to bring my leg in. But if I went up on my fingertips, then I could. But I couldn't with my palm down because there wasn't enough room. And I just kept beating myself up because I couldn't draw my leg in. And then this one teacher, and I've never had a problem since. And that's the gift of actually working with someone who really knows what they're doing and they can help you. And, you know, always want to be careful because there's always a risk of injury from pretty much most things that we do. But I'm going to put Pilates Method Alliance into the show notes so that people can look for them in their local community. And also, Heike, thank you so much for joining and sharing your wisdom today. Your contact information will also be in the show notes if anybody wants to reach out to you, learn more about Pilates or any of the other work that you do. You've got a long history. You've got 35 years of history.
Almost 40 years.
And that's how long you've been working with women and fitness and health. And it's a remarkable wealth of experience that you bring. So I know that you know a lot more than Pilates, but we really wanted to talk about that today. And wow, the wisdom that you've brought today, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Tatiana. And I could have talked for hours. If anybody wants to know more about the history of Pilates, let me know.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of Happy-ish. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and I can promise you more content like this. But don't keep it to yourself, share it with a friend. So until next time, keep your curiosity alive, spread kindness wherever you go, and never forget that you are the author of your story.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.